Welcome to Sweet Tea and Tacos. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.
So it's July and hot where we are. And not only is watermelon a good summer treat, but of course ice cream is what you think of for a summer treat. And
absolutely.
We've not made a lot of ice cream in our lives, in our cooking.
No.
But I happen to have, we have a friend. It's always good to have a friend that cooks. And so this friend made a mistake of the other day mentioning these cool ice creams that she makes. So we said, well, we got to have you on the show and talk about ice cream. So we have Ann-Erin. Ann-Erin, welcome.
Hi. I'm excited to be here and talk about ice cream.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So how did you get started making ice cream in the first place?
I just like to get into the kitchen and play. Ice cream is an easy thing to play with for me, and it's really a good place to take different flavors and pull them together, and which is part of what I really like in the cooking process, is how do flavors play off of each other, work together, what do you come up with. Plus, ice cream's just perfect, so.
It's cool.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So kind of tell us a little bit about your what kind of ice cream do you like to make? And this is what really piqued my interest when she told me about this. So
the first few times I made ice cream, I started with the basics like vanilla, chocolate.
Good place to start.
Those are good. And but then I love lemon. Anything lemon. Mm-hmm. So I have a cookbook, ice cream book, and I have a delicious ice cream, lemon ice cream in that, and made that several times because I couldn't get past it. I would think, I'll make this next time. No, the lemon. It's this really creamy, subtle. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But it has some more adventurous flavors in there. It's strawberry. Is it strawberry? It's roasted strawberry and buttermilk.
Ooh.
So that one's coming up soon. So what I was making when I got in touch with Dave and said, hey, have you guys talked about ice cream? I was working on a sweet corn and raspberry sauce.
Wow.
And, you know, of course, corn is sweet, just has that really nice sweetness to it and all. So I didn't know how strong it was going to come through in the ice cream, but it was this, wasn't corn tasting. It just was the perfect sweet level for it. The raspberry gave that nice tangy contrast
right,
on it.
Right.
And, then the other one I was making was a goat cheese and what did I have with that one? Sour cherry sauce.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yes. Yeah. So see, taking a sweet, taking a the tangy, the tart, contrasting them.
Cool.
Well, cool. And what you said you were going to work on one this weekend.
I'd like to try the roasted strawberries and buttermilk.
So. Sounds good. So what's the method? How are you making ice cream?
Right. This is my, you know, I was curious, do you do kind of like with the eggs and you cook it or?
I do not. I've done the egg, the custard base a few times. I recently made a dark chocolate, incredibly rich, delicious, using the eggs. But the method I usually use substitutes, or doesn't substitute, uses cream cheese instead of eggs as the fat carrier in there.
Yeah. Kind of a binder.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's a little bit easier. That's not why I landed on it. I just like the flavor I get, the texture, where everything lands with that process.
Right.
It also involves using some cornstarch in the process as a thickener for it. And they're really, those are good ways to work with the flavor. Also, it plays into the freezing point of your ice cream, which is how you end up with soft ice cream instead of icy ice cream.
Okay.
And then I think it works better for the types of flavors I like to play with also.
So tell me about, you were saying to me one time, you were really starting, you have played with the sugar ratios and all of this, and explain to us what that difference is. What makes that difference between the hard ice cream and the soft ice cream?
So ice cream is basically four things. It's your sugar, it's your ice, it's your fat, and it's air. And you want your proportions of all of those to be right. And you need to use your dairy, and which is part of your part of the fat, but it also has a lot of water in it. You need something in there that has a lower freezing point than the water, so that the water doesn't freeze as ice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And that's about as much science as I know. But so then the sugar is also a factor in that. And so keeping these ratios, for example, if you use a fruit in there that has a lot of water content with it, you'll want to decrease the amount of sugar to balance out with the fruit. Or if you use some honey in the flavor, cut mm-hmm. back on your sugar.
Okay.
Gotcha.
To balance all
so the higher fat, lower water content.
Yes.
So if you've got, so you're using a fat like a cream cheese that doesn't have a lot of water content, that helps make it, now that makes it softer, right?
That helps, and that mm-hmm. gives a binder for the flavors mm-hmm. also, mm-hmm. and helps with making it softer.
Okay, cool. So kind of what do you use, a hand churn, a big one? What do you, kind of ice cream maker are you churning them or not?
I'm churning them. I have a simple electric ice cream maker. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Only problem with it is that the canister isn't big enough.
Yeah.
But yeah. It works.
We used to have one of those. And yeah. I have to say we didn't end up using it much.
Right.
I think it just stopped working or something. But yeah it's a small amount. You
it,
know?
It, yes. That's the hardest part with
yeah.
it. I'm seriously considering getting another canister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can
make two at the time.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you churn all your ice cream or do you some without churning?
I've done a few without churning. Sometimes just out of impatience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, I think it's creamy enough. I can eat it now.
Yeah.
And I've made a sorbet one time mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. just was right where it needed to be after the chilling time in the mm-hmm. freezer and all. And I took it out. I was like, I don't need to do anything more to this. And it was perfect and all.
Okay.
So,
kind of how are you mixing it? Kind of talk to us through the process of how you're. Are you hand mixing using a mixer or what?
So start off by whisking the cream cheese with a little sea salt.
Okay.
And then and the salt also acts as it's just like putting salt on the road.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's part of the bringing your freeze point down to.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
all. So you have that in a bowl. I have a cornstarch slurry mixed. It's mixed with a little bit of the milk. That's mm-hmm. on hold.
Okay.
Bring the creams and sugar to and a little corn syrup to a boil.
Mm-hmm.
Then add the slurry in, bring it back to a boil again, let it thicken for a minute or so. And then you just pour that onto the cream cheese and whisk and a hand whisk that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And until it's nice and smooth, put mm-hmm. it into an ice bath. Let it chill.
Okay.
Okay. And then from there, you go into your ice cream machine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, cool.
And if you know, it depends on what flavor, what I'm adding in. For example, the cherries, the raspberries,
mm-hmm. right.
those are layered in when I take it out of the freezer, out of the canister.
Yeah.
It's not in that process.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Something like a chocolate syrup or some small chocolate chips might pour in toward the mm-hmm. end of the mm-hmm. mixing process.
Right.
So okay. it just depends on the flavor on when the extras get added in.
Yeah.
So the goat cheese one, how does that one, where do you add the goat cheese? Is it in place of something else or?
No, it was not in place of something else. I think that one did cut back a little bit on the, trying to remember, maybe not quite as much of the cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I mixed it with the cream cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the milk and cream were added to that mixture.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah. So we made it a little bit with that, and we did it with that ice cream maker we had. We did a few in that when we had that. But we really haven't done much ice cream. I think a lot of people maybe are intimidated by ice cream.
Oh, no.
I think it takes forever. How long does it take you to make a batch of ice cream?
It takes maybe 45 minutes to get it to the point that I'm putting it in for the ice bath.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm a slow worker in the kitchen. I'm very deliberate with things, and so I'm sort of slow, and I watch that I don't want it to overboil,
mm-hmm.
and
sure,
and also just watching that whole process, and maybe 45 minutes, then the ice bath, which I've actually started doing instead of an ice bath is putting it in the container in the freezer, and I actually let it get to the point where it's just beginning to thicken, not mm-hmm. not just mm-hmm. chilled, mm-hmm. but actually beginning to thicken, and then put that into the ice cream machine.
Right.
That gets really nice texture. Yes.
Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah. So I like the way you're doing it with the cream cheese, because, you know, when you do the custard style, you're always risking the whole thing about the scrambled eggs, you know.
Yes.
And that's kind of a difficult, I guess, procedure to.
And then, you know, just having the raw egg not cooked enough.
If you do the custard, you're going to get the egg cooked.
Right.
You risk the scramble. And then some people do just put raw egg in there. Yeah. But I've never been a fan of that, because I don't want to risk any kind of salmonella or anything. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. So, ice cream. About all I had. Yeah. No. So
what can you do with ice cream after? Or do
there you go.
That's right. Ice cream? Exactly. Okay.
All right.
So how do you serve it? You know.
So usually, you know, at home by myself, I'm just taking it out of the container. I do take it out of the container.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a start.
So get it into a bowl, and I usually just do it pretty simply with like that. Sometimes I'll add a little whipped cream on top to have a little bit of extra and all. I don't do a lot of ice cream desserts, you know, making ice cream sandwiches or sundaes or something really elaborate like you might get at La Durée or a place like that. But I look at them and think, no, the ice cream is good.
Yeah, it's just, that's
the
good.
Ice cream is good.
It's
like
a good
this.
Carrier on and on.
Stand alone.
But what I do have that it really does make a difference, and there are ice cream spoons. Did you know there are ice cream spoons?
No.
They're small. They're about the size of Demitasse
spoons.
And they look like a tiny little shovel. And it actually,
it's got a flat edge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Cool.
And the way it scoops it up and all. And it
makes a difference.
Yes.
Nice.
Now, the ice cream scoop's an important part. We've kind of been through some ice cream scoops.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and one of the ones that we sold at the retailer where David and I worked, actually in the handle of it, it had some kind of like, it's almost like an antifreeze kind of chemical in there so that when you scoop, you know, it would immediately kind of start to soften that ice cream. I don't think we've ever owned one of those.
No.
I think we, you know, I mean, it's a neat concept.
Right.
But we've certainly been through some ice cream scoops.
I do have one of those. I need to get it out. I haven't used it in a while. I usually just use a spoon.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, and you're making a softer ice cream.
That's
true.
Right.
So
it's not.
I don't need that.
Yeah. It's not going to be rock hard or anything.
And right now, I'm also testing different containers to store the ice cream in. I haven't landed on something that I'm 100% happy with.
So, what are you looking for in the storage of it?
Something that really keeps it at about the right temperature that you want it, all that, but doesn't get too hard either.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so I've tried little disposable paper bowls. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have actually just put it covered in a mixing bowl in there. Mm-hmm. I've put it in plastic containers. Plastic is actually really good for this.
Okay.
But I'm not wild about using plastic.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you know, it could be different aspects of that.
But glass probably would not be anything to do, because I would imagine you'd risk that cracking in the freezer.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
That's.
So where are you headed with ice cream? Do you have a goal in your ice cream where you're headed?
I am ready to start developing some of my own flavors.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And,
good.
I'm wanting to play, I don't know why, but wanting to play with some herb flavors, play some basil.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Some rosemary, try out some something with lavender. So do some things like that. And the base that I'm using, what I described earlier with the cream cheese and all, I'm really happy with that base. And it's a good starting point. And then from there, it's just getting in and trying proportions, what works with what.
Mm-hmm.
As artists, this is something I read recently, and both of you are artists, and you will appreciate this take on it, and to think of a color wheel and also in putting your flavors together.
Okay.
And for example, with the raspberry or blackberry sauce that I did with the sweet corn, of course, your purple and yellow are complementary colors.
Mm.
Ah,
yes.
Yeah.
And or what are your colors that are next to each other in the color wheel?
Yeah.
And doing like that, and that a lot of times if you'll work in that, with that thought process, you'll end up with flavors that work well together.
Cool.
I had never.
I know.
Of that.
I know. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, awesome. Isn't it?
All right, we're going to try that.
Yeah.
We're going to try that. That's a great idea. Now, as a little aside, Ann Aaron is a Frenchophile.
Francophile.
And one of the things you also make is crepes.
Yes.
So have you done crepes and ice cream?
Yes, I have.
Okay, I knew that we were coming. I knew we were, okay.
Yes, yes. Crepes, ice cream, a little chocolate sauce on top.
So how did you get started making crepes?
Well, if you're a Francophile, you make crepes. No, I won't say that. That's one of those things that... Yeah. They're actually pretty easy to do, and
see, they're intimidating. Just the thought of them are intimidating. Cause,
well, I will say,
I saw Jacques Pepin the other day. I follow him on social media. He showed how to make crepes, and I was amazed at how easy it looked. Now, he's Jacques Pepin, but you know, it was just several ingredients, and it took like no time at all. And it was just a regular, you know, garden variety nonstick pan, not even a crepe pan, you know.
Yes, be prepared to throw the first one away.
And that's what he said. He said, traditionally, the first one goes to the dog or something like that, you know.
Yes, and that's, won't say that's where mine goes, but no, first one does not make it.
why is it not used. Why is that?
I don't know if it's because the pan's not quite hot enough or if you have it just a little bit of butter or oil in there, but maybe there's just... It's just a little too much, and so that first one absorbs some of it.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Sometimes I notice that with like when we make waffles, you know, the first waffle is never that stellar, and then from then on, you know, it goes smoother or something.
Tell us a little bit about your crepe. How you do crepes?
Crepes. That's flour, milk, egg. Mix it up. Let the batter sit in the refrigerator for 12 hours overnight.
Okay.
Hit up. I've actually done it running two pans at a time. Have them set up, get them really hot. You pour the batter in. It's a quick flick to get the batter all the way around there, and cook it for about a minute until it starts to brown. The edges will curl up a little bit. That's when you flip it. I count to 20, take it off really fast.
So how much, are you measuring out your batter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How much batter are you
using? I actually do that based on the pan that I'm using.
Yeah.
And also that it's just a thin coat. It actually, when you pour it in, it doesn't fully cover it. I have to tilt the pan around to get it to fully cover.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And all. But I have a couple of different pans that I use. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And the method I saw that Jacques Pepin was doing, he said, put the batter in sort of like the corner. You know, don't put it in the middle because then it'll go out like spokes on a wheel.
Okay.
But he said, put it kind of in the corner and then kind of spin the pan around or something. I mean, it looked like it was easy. I don't know.
So this is a great conversation because Tuesday is Bastille Day.
Ah.
Yes, I'm planning on making crepes then.
Cool.
So I will definitely give that a try, that part of it, because I put it in the middle.
Okay.
Spread out.
And then what do you use to flip it? How do you flip it?
I have a large spatula.
Just large spatula.
I have looked at it a couple of times and thought, I've got it. I can do this. Just flipping it in the... But I haven't done that.
All right. And so do you use a nonstick pan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I can see where that would definitely make it easier.
Yeah, I was going to say. That would. Yeah. Well, we may have to try them eventually.
Yeah.
So. They're really, really not difficult.
Okay.
Yes. Cool.
Well, crepes and ice cream, and now I'm hungry. So, that's the goal of the show is to make you hungry.
And that's the great thing with crepes because you can have them for your meal and dessert.
There you go.
Sweet and savory.
Savory and sweet. All right. There was a restaurant around here that had a really great, for a short time, one of those crepe cakes. It was like banana and carrot.
That's what I want to do sometime.
Yeah.
I haven't made one of those.
I've made
enough crepes at one time to make one.
That's Sweet Teen Tacos for this week. Ice cream and crepes with our friend Ann Aaron. Thank you for joining us. Leave us a review. Check us out on Facebook. Send us an email. Let us know what you'd like us to talk about next. Or if you have a question for Ann Aaron or anyone we've had on our show. We appreciate you listening. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.
And...
Au revoir.
Au revoir.